Sometimes you scroll through TikTok, aimlessly passing through videos of couples pranking each other, kids humbling their parents, and pets being cute by simply existing. Then there are other times when you're stopped mid-scroll by a song clip that just catches your ear in that special way. A way that makes you immediately close TikTok and open your music app because you just have to hear the whole song. A song which elicited that response from so many people that it propelled the new London-based band Good Neighbor's debut single Home straight to the Billboard Hot 100 music charts. Good Neighbors started as, you guessed it, Neighbors, with bandmates Ollie and Scott having studios next to each other in East London. A band, as they put it, was born out of small towns and spare time. That spare time birthed a song which currently has over 40 million plays on Spotify and is steadily growing every day. With the release of their new single, Keep It Up, Good Neighbors is only just getting started. This is the Spout Podcast, where famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for. And today, that's Good Neighbors. Here's Eric Zachary.
I was going to introduce you guys as Good Neighbors, but first thing on the screen I see is Scotty Too Hottie. So we got to start there. Scott and Ollie, Good Neighbors, a.k.a. the gentleman behind one of the most viral songs in the world right now. How are we feeling?
Pretty crazy.
I would imagine. Yeah. I would imagine. Especially the last 24 hours, too. You just put out the music video, the live performance video, live from the neighborhood of Home.
Yeah, we realized that no one has ever seen us. They've just heard the sound and the song. So we were like, what's the best way to engage people with like Good Neighbors? So we just thought, put the two songs out. And it's one song at the moment, but
yeah,
the live performance, just so people can actually see us play and see it's a real thing.
Well, I wouldn't be a music journalist if I didn't immediately jump on the two song thing. I know you've been putting out the tease for Keep It Up.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
What can you tell me about this track?
Well, that was the first one we actually posted. Like, we didn't have Home until, I guess, start of this year. Like, we hadn't even written that. Whereas we've been sitting on Keep It Up for, like, I guess we wrote it in, like, August.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to finally get this one out feels good for us because we've had it for a minute.
Mm.
What's it like to sit on a track for that long? Because, first of all, let's rewind for a second before you answer that. You guys aren't new to this. Good Neighbors is a new project, right? But you're both independent artists and producers in your own right. Ollie, I didn't even realize I had you on my playlist. When I was doing my research for this, I was like, oh, honey. I know that I should push you away, but something on my shoes is making me stay. Yeah. Like that, I've had that song on my playlist for 2 years now. And then, of course, nice. You know, Scott, I'm going through the Kwasa project, Native back in the day. I need space to breathe in. I think I found an old cover of you doing Valerie, Mark Ronson.
Oh,
we dug deep, man.
see that.
So all of that to say, we're not new to this. Just the project itself is a little bit newer. But yeah, you've been working on this music for so long. So what's it like to write something in almost a year ago, August, and then now it's finally being heard by people and in a massive scale?
It's been really nice, to be honest. Like, having we basically stumbled upon this project by working together on other people's, and we didn't really feel like anyone was tapping into like the music that we loved growing up, which was just like MDMT, Foster the People area.
Yeah.
And so when we started making that, it was nice because there was no one knew we were doing it. It was behind closed doors and there was no pressure. So it was just like free writing without any timelines or any people like leaning over you to see what was happening. So it's kind of stressful now, being like,
we've had these songs for
like 6 months, but at the same time, we're so happy that we had the freedom to create and just to then now be putting it in the world, like quite confident in the songs because we've lived with them for so long.
It's often the dream of musicians to start their careers by putting out their first song and immediately go viral straight to the music charts with fans instantly clamoring for more music. But the reality is, it's extremely rare, almost like catching lightning in a bottle. Or in this case, like catching good neighbors in a bottle.
Yeah, it used to be a pretty common question for artists. You know, a lot of people would say the hardest thing about writing a second album is following up, you know, the success of the first. You guys don't even have an album or an EP. It's the song, literally the first single that people have heard is not just a song that people like, by the way, it's a hook. It's a 10, 20 second whistle pitch of a hook that people are like, wait, that's now the visual of my life. How are we doing under the stress? Are we okay? Do we need to check in? Do we need to do some breathing? Are we okay?
right now we're kind of collected. We're good. We definitely had like a month where we were just like rolling, not sleeping, like running on adrenaline. But now, yeah, we kind of come to terms with it. And yeah.
We've started the journey now. So I think like Home was just like the best start, like you say, to a project, but it's like the keys are in the engine.
Yeah.
And then me and Scott are now just like, when can we put everything else out? And like, how can we figure it out? And how can we just play all these shows? Because we're getting people like in Australia that want us to go and play shows.
Which is
so we're trying to work out bonkers. All the logistics at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're catching up with the song, basically.
Which is such a cool thing to do in general. Do you remember the moment where you were, what you were doing? You're like, oh, this isn't just getting a couple of views. This is starting to, you start pulling the refresh again and again and again. You're like, this is catching.
Yeah, we went away in January to write like for a week just away from London. And at the end of that week, we were just trying TikTok for like the first time. And so one of our friends had said, oh, just put like the most instant chorus you have. And Home at the moment, like the story was taking place, was just a chorus. There was no song around it. But we were like, that one's pretty like on the nose of just start straight on the one. So we put that on TikTok. And it did like, I remember it doing like 20,000 views. And we were like, if it does any more than 20,000, we'll get ourselves like a pint. And then it just went to like 40,000. And then we fell asleep. And then the next morning we woke up to like 200,000. And then we were just like, oh my God, this is crazy. So we called our manager and we're like, can we put this song out? Like, we feel ready to put this out. And he was like, how fast is it moving? And we said sort of like 200,000. By the time we finished the call, it was like 500,000.
Oh my God.
And then we were like, get in the car, drive back to London. We need to like finish the song.
Right.
And by the time we got to London, which was like maybe 5 hours later, it was on like 1.5 million or something on TikTok. But that was just the sound. So then we were in the studio just like working in retrospect, trying to write this song around a chorus and mix it and put it out. And we did it within 4 days. So it's pretty quick.
Wow.
I mean, we even stopped over at the service stations, like the gas stations on our way home to try and like bounce out stems to get mixed.
Like, so
it's chaos.
Working remote literally from the road. And I'm assuming we didn't keep up with, you know, a pint every 20,000 views, or that would have been a rough recovery.
Honestly, yeah. I'm glad we nipped that in the bud when we did, because that would have been a slippery slope.
to see the process that is, you know, write a song in reverse in the rear view, both, you know, from a dual intent purpose there. Is it frustrating at all? Because you've spent so much time in the industry having success in your own right, but to finally give in to the pressure of TikTok, of the social media, quote unquote, way of releasing a song and seeing it hit.
I think like we love that chorus. So like to go for that to blow up and that be the one that we have to go back to was just like giving us an incentive to finish it.
Sure.
I think if it was something like we didn't like that happened to take off, yeah, that would be annoying. But like,
so, like that's the worst one. On why? Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but that happens to a lot of people, I think. Mm-hmm. Like we haven't had that, but
yeah,
it was a good one for it to happen on because we needed to finish it and yeah, it gave us a reason.
Yeah.
The nostalgic elements behind the sound of Good Neighbors feels like you have been transported back to a time where bands like Foster the People, MGMT, and Passion Pit are still playing on the radio. The sky is filled with cotton candy sunsets, the smell of summer is in the air, and you and your friends are running through fields at music festivals with smiles plastered all over your faces. It's a visual as much as it is audio. Good Neighbors brings back hope, happiness, and the possibility of a little magic.
Talk to me about the cinematography behind this, because I can already tell, when you just listen to a song like Home or even the tease that is Keep It Up that we've heard so far, I'm someone that hears and sees things in the third person a lot. So when I hear music, I kind of already see myself in a music video. And then when you guys put out, even just you running through the neighborhood, up the stairs, doing the live performance, I spent a lot of time in London in Borough Market and then out in Brighton 2 years ago for a summer. Oh, yeah. And suddenly that song became that, you know, it scored all of those videos to me. And I have to go make that on TikTok. But talk to me about the visuals and how the visuals inspire lyrics or the lyrics inspire visuals, which comes first.
Yeah. So like when we started the project, like I say, there was no brief. It was just me and Scott writing as an exercise. And the reason we're Good Neighbors is we've got two studios next door to each other.
I love that.
So I went into Scott's room and he's got a screen behind his setup. And I just got a movie account that had like all of the A24 films, and I was like, let's just like put them on loop. And Scott's always written to visuals and I never had, so it's the first time I was doing it, and it's just like, wow. It immediately gives you context to whatever you're doing. Yeah. You're no longer sort of shooting into space, you're shooting to, like, we were writing to a film called Closer, and we've always done that with all of the songs, and it just sort of, it makes us a bit braver, I think, sonically. So like Home, I think, could have easily sat on just a piano. Mm-hmm. But then we were like, what if we got like an omnichord like you hear in some of the old 80s films and put that in the verse instead? It's definitely like educated us on how to make things cooler and like more cinematic, and they live, I truly think, like all these songs that are coming, they live in a world that I haven't heard before, which is really cool.
Yeah, I'm glad you said A24 because I think amount of comments that were asking when this is going to be part of Euphoria is just you know, off the walls. I love the meet cute, almost relationship-esque work professionalism that is, well, I mean, everyone wants that, right? You want to meet that partner on a train, reading a book, or working next to them in a cubicle or something. And you guys kind of have that from a professional standpoint of this project game. We were friends. We work next to each other. Why don't we just work with one another?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite funny.
Yeah.
It's nice just having music for the sake of making music.
Yeah. Ollie, you were talking about, you know, you've never really written to visuals. Scott, you have. Scott, what have you picked up by working with Ollie?
I think, like, this is the first project I've done where, like, we haven't overthought anything. Like, Ollie's quite a quick mover and I'm quite a slow mover. Like, I'll overthink things and he doesn't think anything through. Yeah. So we have quite a nice balance of, like, yeah, just getting things done quickly. We've done a lot of the recordings are done on, like, iPhones. Like, the drums on Home is just iPhone mic.
Yeah.
The piano is iPhone mic.
Yeah, piano, guitar, and drums are all iPhone.
Wow. Yeah,
just because it's like the easiest way to keep the momentum and to stay with like in that like fizz of the energy.
Right, you can always transpose it later, but you just need something written down immediately.
100%, and also just like there's no better way to kill a vibe than being like, where did I put that XLR cable?
Yeah.
And it's just like both of you are bending down, just trying to like look under cupboards and stuff, and it just, the song is gone.
Yeah.
I think it's so nice to be like, oh, we should do drums, like, blah, blah, blah. I run out of the room, go and play the drums, bring them back in, and then Scott puts them in, and it's just like, and it's like yes anding, I guess.
Yeah, improv.
Writing. Yeah, literally.
You've both been doing this for more than a few years now. What kind of production techniques did you start off with? Maybe, you know, everyone kind of has, like you were just saying, the iPhone. It was very basic. It was very simple GarageBand. Now, obviously, we have better resources at our fingertips. What are some of the things? Let's get nerdy for a second. From a production standpoint, they're like, yes, finally, I have access to this. Maybe there's some support from a label or from management. You guys finally get to do certain things. And then what other production techniques are you like, no, I'm always going to record the sound of a cardboard box or whatever it may be?
Yeah, I think we're just honestly, like, we're reversing in our productions. Like, we're getting more and more janky. Like, I think we got to the point where we're doing like pop productions where it's super clean, you know, really nice, like condenser mics. And then now with this, it's like we really miss indie music with like floors and like even Keep It Up with the releasing this week. That's not on a tempo grid. Like, we did that off grid. So it's like we're getting less and less like professional.
I'm sure that's not going to make your live band members hate you.
Honestly, and like when we're getting the tracks mixed at the moment, I feel so bad. Like, we finished one the other day and it's like 70 tracks, and you would not think it's 70 tracks, but it's because every time we add to new tracks and we don't ever think about like labeling anything. So you've got like 30 tracks that just say like the address because they come from a voice memo. And we're just like, I'm so sorry to the mix guy. Even with Keep It Up, he was like, sorry guys, I'm just trying to work out, is the BPM like 97? We're like, technically it's 97.4. It's so bad.
Yeah, just to break it down real fast for anyone hearing this, you know, when they say on the grid, usually you're working with a metronome or a click track of some kind, right? And you guys are just free playing, which is, you know, not quantized beats is a very common thing from the 60s, 70s, early 80s. And it's something that's come back, but usually people are doing it intentionally, or you work in a space where you, like you just said, you know someone's going to be mixing this later. So you're still trying to, you know, make that post-production a little bit easier. God bless your mixer. That sounds like a task.
Honestly, yeah. Shout out Lee. He's smashing life for us.
I love it.
Really helped.
When you're catapulted to success on a quicker than normal trajectory, it's important to find ways to ground yourself. Artists, despite their extreme passions, need a release just like everyone else. And good neighbors are no exception.
Talking about smashing life, and we'll end on this. I mean, obviously we're riding a high, but I like that you guys are still grounded. You're excited for what's next. We're really keeping, you know, it seems like attention to, let's keep that forward momentum. Let's not celebrate too much, not too many pints. But what are we doing when you do need to break out of that studio? Because I can tell you guys radiate music, right? It is your passion. Mm-hmm. What other passions do we have when you're just like, I need a beat?
I think we're both pretty into our running. That's all like one thing we'd always meet on, which is just like stressed, anxious, what do I need? And like running, running from all of it, I guess not in a mental way, but in a physical way, has helped both of us massively. And like, we got to go to America a month ago, and it's the best way to like see these new places. Like, I'd never been to New York, and then Scott was like, well, let's go for this like huge 10K run. And we just like went straight into the heart of New York and saw it that way.
Yeah.
But that for me personally is like the best stress reliever, and also kind of nice to just take your like earphones out and just hear the street and hear nothing else. Cause like music, I guess, can get a bit invasive sometimes.
How about you, Scott?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that says it perfectly. I think we spend like 80% of our lives in like windowless studios,
yeah,
like small boxes. So anything just to get outside and like, yeah, breathe some real air. Mm.
I love the running, you know, to explore a city, because that's how I learned London to some degree. You know, I was staying with a friend in Borough Market, which is great. It's super central, but I don't know how to connect anything, where the Thames is, where anything is. And when I lived in New York, that's how I discovered it too. Similar to you, Ali, it was just like, let's go for a run. But do you remember where you were running in New York? Can you give me any landmarks?
Yeah, the bit that I loved, we ran through like Greenpoint and all of that area.
Brooklyn, yeah.
And that was beautiful. Like, I could move there in a heartbeat. And it's also just so much cheaper running everywhere. that's the best plus.
You'll save on the Uber tax for sure. 100%. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure. I'm super excited. I know this will be just one of many times we get to catch up, so I don't want to take too much of your time, but keep it up. By the time this is released, I think it's safe to say people will be able to stream that and hear that. Obviously, yes. Home is out. Do we have any, just give me vague timelines, a project, or are we going to keep doing singles right now? What are we looking towards?
We've got an EP coming, yeah. We've got, I think it's like 4 or 5 tracks that we're getting ready to put out someday in the
someday.
Future. We're them down. Yeah.
We're teasing them out slowly.
Final question, because you guys did capture, or at least it appears to have captured, the moment that, you know, Ali, you first sang that home hook, right? Do you have pressure now in the social media world to constantly have the iPhone on? It's like, no, turn the camera on so we have it.
I think we're trying to be like, that was genuinely so authentic, that video. And anytime we've ever tried to like recreate it, we can't bring ourselves to post it. We're lucky that we film each other a lot, like within the studio space.
That's not invasive at all.
There's no, it's all
do it. Good. Do it again.
Yeah. Do the thing. But no, I think like there's a few moments we're just waiting for the tracks to be like coming out so that we can actually post them and have them take their place.
And then they can have their A24 moment for sure.
Oh baby,
we're on the hook. Scott, Ali, better known as Good Neighbors, guys, I appreciate you taking the time. Be well, all right?
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much.
My name is Eric Zachary, one of the hosts here on the Spout podcast, where famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for. First off, I just wanted to say thank you again for rocking with us, for listening to our conversations. We update the Spout podcast every single week with conversations like what you just heard. And speaking of, why not take some time to connect a few of our episodes here? Macklemore. He's been on the Spout podcast twice, but just a few weeks ago, him and I chatted about reigniting his working friendship and just his general friendship with Ryan Lewis. Here's a clip from that episode.
I feel like a lot of people can sympathize with losing a friend or becoming estranged from a business partner or a family member. When you guys did reconnect, how did you toe the line of, hey, let's be friends again before we work together? And how fast did that happen?
Man.
What's your favorite color? Thank you, blue, green. That's a really personal question.
That's fair.
And I do not shy away from personal questions at all. It's weird. Ryan's really been on my mind and my heart the last couple days. And my voice isn't up to shape, so I haven't called him, but I've been meaning to. And I think that period, you know, that breakup was hard, I think, for both of us. And it was hard in different eras, you know. And I think the one thing that remains the same is whenever I see Ryan, whenever I talk to Ryan, there is so much love for the music that we've made together and the friendship and brotherhood that we had and have. It's one of those people that it doesn't feel like there's a day, you know, it's like, oh, I just saw you yesterday, even though it's been 2 years. And I'm rooting for him always. And I think that's at the forefront of everything. And I don't remember exactly, you know, the parameters around seeing him for the first time, but I know that I wanted to connect on a human being level more than just like get into like the, you know, what BPM and what key are we going with and what's this song about. It's like, no, let's just like have fun and go get coffee and talk. And that's where actual like real connection and music comes from. It's sometimes so easy to get caught up in the mind in the studio. And I think throughout the years, Ryan has like got into his bag just in terms of like living life and loving it. And I think that I've done the same thing. And when we create together, there's still that spark and that magic.
I appreciate the honesty and the openness. Thank you. We'll end on this super quick. What's your favorite Capri Sun flavor? Is that more in the line we were looking for?
Pacific Cooler, baby. Let's go.
Again, that was a throwback to when Macklemore joined us on the Spout podcast for a live recorded studio audience episode. That's something that we do, by the way. So if you ever want to make sure that you are not only keeping up with our conversations the second moment, instant they're released, but also looking for opportunities like winning prizes, possibly even meeting some of these musicians and celebrities that we talk to, make sure you are following along always at Spout Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, all of the socials. Also, it's just not quite feeling like a proper Spout podcast episode without Tamara Diaz's voice. She's my friend, my co-host. I've worked with her in the past at MTV, and she just had an incredible conversation with now Grammy Award winning artist Victoria Monet that is definitely worth revisiting. Here's a quick flashback to that conversation.
You know, another big, incredible testimony actually to your story is that just a few months ago, you were told by MTV that it was, quote, too early in your story to perform at the VMAs. And now here you sit as a multi Grammy winner for your album Jaguar 2.
And the Grammy goes to Jaguar, second, John Kersey, Kylie Mann, Victoria Monet, Patricio Tello.
So, you know, obviously this must be a nice little FU to MTV, but what lesson do you get from something like that?
It almost feels like that happening within this short time span is kind of my story summarized, because that's happened so many times before, where I'm not welcome in certain rooms. People don't see me for how I see myself and the same value. This has been happening for the past 10 years. So for people to be able to see it, I feel like is a nice snapshot of how you don't have to listen to what other people think. You just have to keep being you, keep putting the work in, keep your head down and inching towards what you see for yourself. And if one group of people don't see the value, there's so many other people in the world that will and do. So even that story alone, I feel like should be an example for other people to be like, okay, if someone doesn't see it for me, I see it for myself, and I'm just gonna, you know, attract those people who do see me towards me. And I think that's what these Grammys are.
Such a great in-depth conversation with Victoria Monet here on the Spout podcast. And finally, I want to throw back to one more artist who is recently on the show as well, because not only was Benson Boone on the Spout podcast over 2 years ago when he was beginning his career, but now his song Beautiful Things, well, let's just say you can't log onto the internet. That's an old sentence, log onto the internet, but you can't get on Instagram or TikTok without hearing it. He's currently in the midst of his Fireworks and Rollerblades World Tour, the same title as his album, which is out. I figured this would be a great time to jump back into that conversation real quick. So when him and I were chatting about Beautiful Things just days after it was released.
And I'm here to tell you, man, you have a hit. 60,000 tickets sold out in the first, you know, 4 days of a tour. 20 million streams, 1 billion TikTok views. What are you saying to the Benson Boone that was on stage with Eric Magelson in The Roots, high school talent, Battle of the Bands, performing Andy Grammer, The Good Parts?
Dude, I think that kid would be speechless right now. Even then, like, music was like a spark of an idea, but I didn't think I would ever be able to do it. And even, you know, 2 years ago when I like actually wrote my first song, I think the reason why this year is going to be so special is like I've finally, in my head, obviously I'll always be working on it, but I've perfected my craft with my songwriting. I'm writing songs that I love, that I'm really proud of. And I'm just like with Beautiful Things, it's just incredible that a song that I love is also resonating with other people. And so I'm proud of myself this week.
I've been
trying to take it in and just be excited, and but also be ready for more.
Again, my name is Eric Zachary. On behalf of everyone here at Spout, I wanted to say thank you for listening. New episodes hit your feed every single week, but the only way to make sure you see them is to make sure you like, subscribe, and of course follow us on all of our social media platforms at Spout Podcast. We'll see you next week.
To see more of this conversation, search Spout Podcast on all social networks and be sure to subscribe and follow. Plus, sign up at spoutpodcast.com to win tickets, merch, or even the chance to meet our guests. This episode of the Spout Podcast is presented by Alpha Media, written and narrated by Tamara Dia, produced by Mark Long, and created by Phil Becker.
Spout.